Hey, this is Frank. I wanted to jump on before you even hear the intro to explain this unique podcast episode. You see, our entire season three has already been recorded and is up on Patreon, and our members have watched it with their own eyes. Someone watched it twice and they've gotten to see it. But those of you that are not on Patreon, you all get it a few months after they do via audio on all our podcast platforms. So I interviewed Corey a while back and I discovered, hey, we have a lot in common. So between the time of that interview and now, me and him have done a lot of great things, went to a lot of great places, and discovered we have much more in common than we thought, and we've had a great time together. So he decided, hey, why don't we do a second part of our interview and let people see how the podcast brought us together. So, what you're going to hear is our original interview that was done months ago that our Patreon members have already heard, but it's new to you. Actually, they get to watch it on Patreon. You all just get to hear it here on the podcast. And then you're going to hear part two that we recently did the day after the final home game at Wrigley Field. So, without further ado, for those of you that are not on Patreon, make sure you check that out. Patreon, patreon.com/mistakenidentitypodcast. I give you part one, followed by part two of my interview with Security Ambassador of the Month back then, Corey Luna.
To so many people, you know, lifelong Cubs fans, it's our happy place. It doesn't feel like a year without going to Wrigley Field, and you guys are amazing at what you do.
And that's the thing, is that the Wrigley employees are always so helpful. They go beyond.
When you see the same faces year after year after year in the same sections, it makes you feel, it all feels like family. That you're going to a place like it's a little family reunion.
Every family member and friend who comes to that I take to a Cubs game or I take on a Wrigley Field tour, because there's nothing better to do than be in Chicago, and you all made that possible.
Like I said, these are not just employees, in my opinion. They're like family.
I've brought people from all over the world, all over the country, people that don't like baseball, they love Wrigley Field. And we have you guys to thank for that.
Welcome to Mistaken Identity Beyond the Ballpark. We explore the fascinating personal lives of the people inside Chicago's most iconic sports venue, Wrigley Field. Our podcast will take you on an amazing journey, introducing you to some incredible people that we've met along the way. We'll discuss hot topics, play a few games, and just try to have an overall good time. There'll be plenty of surprises along the way, so stick with us to see where our journey heads next. But for now, kick back, relax, and enjoy the latest episode of Mistaken Identity Beyond the Ballpark.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Mistaken Identity Beyond the Ballpark. So this is kind of funny because almost everybody that's been on the show in the past two seasons, whenever they have been on the show, at some point it's time to vote and they become the employee of the year or the employee of the month, like this thing we have going on. This is the first time though that somebody was supposed to be on the show, pushed it back, still won Employee of the Month, and then came on afterwards. That's a first. So the streak continues, but it happened in a different way. And that person who won Employee of the Month, Security of the Month, actually, last week was Corey Luna, who today. Corey, what's up?
How you doing, Frank? Nice to see you.
So congratulations on winning that. I know you were surprised because you were out working when they announced the award, and you're probably like, oh, wow, how did I win?
I really was. And this actually gives me a great opportunity to say thank you to you and everybody else in management and staff that picked me to be Employee of the Month. So thank you very much.
Yeah, who would have known that my nomination would have worked? But hey,
don't toot your own horn, Frank.
I know. Like wow, I didn't get work that much. I guess I did. So there you go. Now some of you are saying this like he looks familiar to me. Is he new? What happened is that he got his hair, the hair thing, the blonde thing is new, but he's not new. Matter of fact, when he worked with me at the concert a couple of weeks ago, I was doing my deployment, putting in our assignments. I thought he was this 20-year-old kid that was new, that was a rookie, because I don't recognize him either because he got the blonde hair. So, Corey, let's start right there. Tell us how the blonde hair came about.
You know, it was just an idea I had a couple months ago. I would say about 6 months ago, and I just kind of sat on it. Wanted to bring a little bit more new energy for the summer. Never done it before. Just wanted to try it.
And why not red? Why not green or blue? Like, why blonde?
Blonde seems to be in right now. And you know that old expression, blondes have more fun. So trying to try something new.
Blondes have more fun. Interesting. Okay, I've heard something about blondes, but I didn't hear it. Well, I guess I heard that too, but that's okay. That's okay. All right. Now, one thing that is shocking to me is that this is your second season, right?
Yes.
And you told me that when you first met me, you were intimidated by me. I'm stunned. So I want to hear,
you had to bring this up.
All people in the world, who would be intimidated by me? So tell me this story. Tell me about how you became intimidated by me when you first started.
Honestly, I'm pretty sure there's quite a few people on staff that are intimidated by you. And it is not a bad thing. I've told you that. It is a good thing. And I think it's a sense of respect. It's the way you carried yourself as a supervisor. And at first, I didn't really work too much under you. And that added to the allure of the intimidation. And then I got to know you at the end. I remember, I don't know if you remember, but towards the end of the last season, you came up to me outside by gate 5 and gave me a token and a compliment. And that was really the first interaction we had had all season. And I didn't even know you would recognize me or my work. And that really had put me on cloud 9.
Yeah, it's funny because I would go by and give somebody a compliment or I give them a token or whatever. And they were like, oh my God, I can't believe it was you that said that I did it great. I'm like, am I that mean that people think that I don't think I'm one of the people? But now let's fast forward to this season. And I was already impressed last year, but this year I made an effort to be more involved with you and your development. I really feel and now whenever I'm in the bleachers, they put you out there with me. You've been doing a great job out there with me, learning different things out there about how we handled it. And it's funny because although I don't want staff to be intimidated, I do want those bleacher people when I say it's time to go to be intimidated. So that's I don't have to turn it on, turn it off. But what is your favorite part about working at Wrigley? I'm curious.
Just being at Wrigley as just a whole. I love the team. I love the organization. And I just love being in that stadium. Every inch about it, whether it's the upper deck or the terrace, or I love the bleachers, where it's like, you know, most people, they fear that area. But I just love Wrigley.
Now, tell me how you became a Cub fan.
Oh, it's in my blood. My father chose that before I even came into this world. So that's how.
Now, your father, does he go to Cubs games often, or how does that work?
Not as much as he used to. He's, you know, he's getting older, and we do live we live out in the suburbs. I actually did just bring him 2 weeks ago for the Veterans game, or the game we had for the Veterans a couple weeks ago. I brought him to that game.
And did they win or lose?
They won that game.
So let me have to bring him back because, you know,
you know, I gotta admit, he was a little overwhelmed with, you know, just getting down there and everything, all the commotion, everything that's Wrigley is a lot nowadays. And he was like, you know what, I think I'm gonna hold off, because I had actually got him tickets for two games that week. And he was like, I think I'm good on the next game. So it might be a little bit before I get to bring him again.
So your favorite Cub is who?
Ryan Sandberg.
And why is that?
Ooh, was just my favorite. Second base was my favorite position as a kid, and just the way he killed it, and him and Mark Grace is a great one too. I loved watching him play.
See, I'm a Sammy Sosa guy. That's when I first started there. I didn't know anything about baseball. Sammy brought me into baseball, That was all basketball when I first started in the 90s. The Bulls that won championship. Yep. That was all Bulls. And then Sammy Sosa, just, I don't know what he did to me, but brought me into baseball, and that started it for me. Now I've grown into, because I like young people and mentoring, players that have that good off-the-field lifestyle, like Jason Hayward, Marcus Stroman. So now my favorite players have changed from people who only not only play well or play on the field, but what do they do outside of the team for their spotlight. Any memories you have of the World Series, what you were doing, where you're at?
Oh, yeah. I was at home with my father and my son, and we watched the game together. We didn't move. My son was sleeping in my arms when it went to extra innings. And that's where I was. And I didn't want to trade that for anywhere else, not the bar or a group of friends. I wanted to be at home with my dad, just watching it together.
Now, let's talk about the son of yours, because you're very emotional about our son. And I get it, because I just got through with Jordan graduation and I didn't think it was going to hit me, but it did. So just talk about your son of yours. Tell me about this fatherhood. Tell me about all that. I know when I see your pictures on social media, and you're definitely one proud father. So tell me about that whole thing.
It's amazing. My son's name is Nicholas. He's 9 years old. Right now he's in baseball, and I get a little mushy when I say this, but I love my son. I'm super affectionate dad. I'm very hands-on. I've taught him a lot. We've done a lot together, camping, fishing. I've taken him all sorts of places. It hasn't been easy, and I'll be honest. His mother and I are not together. So we've gone through that roller coaster of fun, but you know, we've made it through, and you know, my focus is just my son, and we love each other, and we just have an amazing time together.
So is his hair blonde?
No, it is not. It is brown.
Now, when he
might
saw
be
you,
blonde one day.
Now, when he saw you with blonde hair, what was his reaction?
It was just like everyone else's. But he likes it.
I think it's great. When I saw you at the game, at the concert, you were like a whole different person. I thought you were like elite. Matter of fact, you may have found the cure to aging, and that is good. That, you know, your hair doing. I have to
see.
But I literally thought you were some 18-year-old rookie at the park. So I just put you in any kind of spot. If I would have known it was you, I would put you on the stage in the hot area where, you know, where it's gonna be like some trouble at. I would put you where it was at. But back to you. Now you live pretty far. So tell me about growing up, where you're from. Were you a good kid, bad kid, fat kid, skinny kid? Tell me about growing up.
I was born in Chicago. I lived over on Irving Park in Christiana. I went to Cleveland Elementary until about the third grade, middle of third grade. And then my family, all of my family, they just kind of got spent to the city in the early 90s, mid 90s. And we all just kind of took off to the suburbs, and we live in the northwest suburbs now. There's probably about 10 or 12 of us that all lived out here now. And the other questions. I started off as a good kid, and then I bounced around, good to bad, you know, depended on the teachers I had. But I was a fun kid, a jokester. I've been playing baseball since T-ball, very active kid, always running around, always just trying to have fun.
But, you know, so when the game ends, I'm usually in the bed and you're still driving home. You're like, what, an hour away?
Yes. So, yeah, at the end of the game, it takes me about 45 minutes to an hour to get home.
Take me about 30 seconds.
Just had to brag. Huh?
I'm always texting you. Yeah, I'm always texting you. Like, okay, I want to go to bed now. You're like, oh, I'm just driving.
But you know what? There are associates that go way farther than me, so it's not
yes.
that bad.
Mary lives in Wisconsin. I just interviewed her. They go to she lives in Wisconsin. That's a pretty long drive. So what are your like, what are your goals in life? What do you want to be? What do you want to do? I know you're just chilling right now, having fun now. But 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You want to be doing what? Where? Living here still? What do you want to be doing?
In 5 years, I'm looking to be a small business owner. I've been talking to my cousin about starting a landscaping business. I'm focusing, like I said a few minutes ago, I'm really focusing on my son. So right now I would like to move away a little bit, but because of my situation with his mother, I can't really go too far and I don't really want to go too far. But just really in 5 years, I just would like to be just really owning my own business and just happy and being a good father.
Now, speaking of being a good father, now your background is Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. Which yes. I would joke with you by text one day. Me and Corey text all the time now, but I would joke with you by text one day. I'm like, don't you have six kids? And it was kind of funny. But Puerto Rican, I love me some Puerto Rican rice. I will go anywhere to get me some Puerto Rican rice. Now I'm just curious now. Do you have a son and give you some time? Do you cook?
I do cook. I'm actually a very good cook. My favorite is I can cook some pretty good Puerto Rican rice, white rice, not the colored rice, brown rice, red rice. I'm still learning that one. I cook very good red rice, rice and beans, pork chops. I'm very good on the grill. I can cook some good pasta. I love vegetables. I love to eat. So you find me a recipe and I can pretty much put it together.
I can probably pass on the vegetables, but. But Puerto Ricans, they have some good fried stuff too, you know, and I'm a huge fan of that. So inquiring minds want to know, when can I get some rice? I want to try this.
Oh, let me talk to my grandma.
I need you to make it.
Well, if you want the good red Puerto Rican rice, then I gotta talk to the matriarch. You know, I gotta talk to the boss. All right, that has to get approved. But you know, if you want some good plain white rice, it has some flavor to it. I can bring you some of that. Some white rice, some beans, and some pork chops. I can bring you some of that.
So is your son growing up into the baseball? Is he a Cub fan? Is he a Sox fan? Is he a Cardinal fan? Or where's he at now?
Oh, no, he's a Cub fan. Sadly, he's been on the Sox in Little League 2 years in a row now. But no, he is a Cub fan through and through. His mother's a Cub fan. I'm a Cub fan. He comes from a Cub family.
But what if he gets older and decides to come out of the closet as a Sox fan? What do you do?
He better have a good excuse. All right. The reason just better be good enough. I'd like for my son to be his own individual, but please just have a good reason for making a mistake that big.
All right. Now, are you a religious person, person of faith? What are you?
I am not very religious. I'm not going to lie. I am Christian. I was raised Jehovah's Witness, but I am not very religious anymore myself, no.
My favorite celebrity talk show right now is Sherry Shepherd, who was raised Jehovah's Witness, and she always talked about how tough and strict that is. No Christmas tree and none of that. I'm just curious, what was it like growing up with no Christmas?
Funny you bring that topic up, because that's something that I talk about with my family. It was not easy, not easy at all. I understood it, and I had no problem with it, with my family and all of that. But I'm not going to lie, if I didn't, you know, if I was not jealous around Christmas time and I saw, you know, everything that people had, and then the stories that kids would have when we came back from break and they had new stuff and new toys, new gear. And I pretty much had the same old stuff from a couple weeks ago. So it wasn't easy, but, you know, it was what it was and it is what it is. And I don't, as much as I respect and love it, that's not what I do with my son. I do Christmas, I do birthdays, we do everything with him.
I'm assuming that you spoil him. I'm sure he gets 55,000 gifts.
Yep.
And,
yep. You go, I spoil him very bad.
You go into debt like everybody else, and then, you know, he sees the toy, but likes, when he was younger, he sees the toy, but likes the box and the wrapping paper more, and you put on the toy, but he wants the box and the wrapping paper. I'm sure you went through that already, I'm sure.
Yes. And I went through my first last Christmas disappointment of gifts and the look on his face when he was not happy with what I got. So all of that, the personalities all kicking in and all of that. So it's a lot of fun.
It's funny, Jordan. So I love this is my secret, by the way, and you can't do this yet because Jordan is young. So I have learned to buy Jordan gifts that I also want. That way.
Oh, trust me, I've done that.
He really like it. Yep. He would just leave it here. And I would say I've been doing pretty good because he hasn't done that in a while. It's been some years, actually, since he's done that. Like, now he loves my gifts now. But I learned, you know, years ago, like, okay, buy stuff that I would want and that I like. If he doesn't like it, I will take it. So
yep,
that's a little tip when he gets older.
I've started to do that with video games because now he's getting into video games and I'm starting to lean a little bit towards the older stuff. So I'm like, all right, let's play some stuff that daddy might want to play and things like that.
Now, tell me about what it's like to be, from a personal standpoint, not a professional standpoint, what is it like to be sitting on the field as a field guard every day, that close to the game that you are infatuated with? On a personal level,
it is the most incredible feeling. I have to be honest. The first day I got to work on the field as a field guard, not necessarily step on the field, but the first day as a field guard, it was a very powerful feeling, just amazing feeling. And I love being there and having that vantage point and just being that close to the players and the field and the game. I can't say anymore how much amazing it is.
I remember a couple of years ago, they either Pac had to go somewhere or they just decided they needed a backup, whatever. And they had asked if I wanted to learn how to be on the field as a supervisor. I'm like, hell no. All that running? No way. Can't leave to get a break. I mean, I would go nuts being stuck in that spot. It's just not my nature. I got to be able to move around, get to the upper deck. I just can't be sitting somewhere. And they're running back up. I just couldn't do it. Matter of fact, I think David Jones too is like, no, we'll pass. We're good. But some people love it. Like, you know, you love it. Marcus loves it. My favorite person in the world, Keyston, he loves it. Now, do you ever have this anxiety about what if somebody runs on the field?
Anxiety, no. For me, it's kind of like almost a wish factor. This is what I'm here to do. So if someone steps on the field, it's I don't know, I kind of want it to happen.
Interesting, because I think that you have to realize that that does happen. You'll be on ESPN probably.
Yeah. I just hope the guy isn't too big. You know, I'm a little guy. So hopefully my runner is not 6'5 and 280 pounds, and I'm going to have to bribe him to stop and get off the field.
Now, this is only your second season. And now, have you made any friends there? Who are some of your friends that are – at Wrigley there, Wrigley Field?
I've made some great friends. Let's see, let me go down the list in SSA. George Jr. is a great kid. I've made friends with him. Grace Sweetman, she's all super awesome. Thomas, Kayan, Kay Kindred, Supervisor Corey. I've met some really great people. And I've actually, this season, I've had the chance to get to know people a lot better because I was working a lot last season.
Now, I don't know if you watched, if you are listening to the podcast, but so Kayan was on the episode, maybe two episodes ago, and he shocked everybody. It was funny because he got on this episode and talked about how he wanted me to help him find a wife. And I thought, I was not expecting that. I thought it was hilarious.
Wow.
But I'm assuming you're not going down the same route. You're not going to say, Frank, help me find a wife. I'm assuming.
No.
You're gonna let Kane handle that.
Yeah, I made it clear to you. I have right now I have no interest in marriage. Absolutely none.
So that's how you see Kane think, wow, did you really go on Frank's show and ask the partner wife? If he says no, I'm gonna see the episode. You need to check it out. Because it was just funny. Everybody enjoyed the party the next day, like, wow, did Kane really go on that, you know, said it really wants Frank to find my wife, which is hilarious. But so I always end the show by letting people ask me a question. So what question does Corey Luna have for me? I almost called you Sebastian. That's your middle name, I'm going to say. Sebastian represents somebody that's innocent. And you said to me that you're loud and annoying. The version that I get is the professional version, you say. But there's an other side of you that I heard you said is that I wouldn't like, so.
I'm going to say you wouldn't like, but you know, it might shock you. I bring it out at work every once in a while, but yeah, I'm a very obnoxious person. I'm loud, but I do try to tone it down a lot at work. let me ask you, what made you start this podcast and what keeps you interested and keep pursuing it?
So this year is tough because I've had so many things going on with my brother and family and Jordan graduation. And I mean, so I am way behind on it as I was the first 2 years. But it started again because we were in COVID and we couldn't work. You weren't around then, I think. You saw your second season. During COVID, we didn't work at all for a year. So I had put together, with the help of several other people, like Rahaf and others, we put together a virtual Cubs convention. So hundreds of our staff were at home and they were going to all these sessions. We had different sessions. We had bingo. We had players. We had Kyle Schwarber. He came on Zoom with us. We had Mark Pryor. We had Kerry Wood. We had Ryan Dempster. And it was just them players and the staff and their families at home asking questions, interacting. Since then, I've had Billy Williams. I've had Fergie Jake. I've had all the Hall of Famers. Wow. Andre Dawson I've talked to. It just grew and grew and grew. And now we have this great following. We have amazing supporters on Patreon, who are Cubs staff and who helps us to support the show, because it costs money to do all this. We have over 20,000 downloads of people that listen to this show from several countries, because we don't talk about business. We talk about the personal life of people that work at Wrigley Field. You may see the usher at the ball game, but the usher is somebody's mom, the teacher, somebody's daughter, has a great story. And people just love to hear the stories about people that work at Wrigley. I've had Justin, I had the managers on here. Israel came on to talk about his cancer situation. So at work, we don't have time to get to know each other and to meet, but the podcast allowed us to get to know people outside of work. And it seems to be season three. So who would have thought 3 years? So that's, what do you think about that?
I love that answer. That was a beautiful answer. And I actually did get to listen to Justin and Israel's interview.
Yeah, I still enjoy it, though. I still enjoy talking to Justin and Israel. And when I go to London in a couple of weeks, I got some more surprises out there for the podcast. So looking forward to that.
That's beautiful.
So, Corey, that wasn't that bad, was it? You were nervous at first?
I was. I'm still a little nervous, but I got over it. It was great, and thank you.
We're always throwing jabs at each other by text message. So he probably thought it was coming here on this podcast. But on the podcast, I got to be somewhat, I got to be chill. Now, when I get off this podcast and I text you, I'm going to be back to my old self. But, and I'm getting ready for this Taylor Swift concert. So, in my mindset, Taylor Swift. But, I'll see you in a couple of days. So, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Are you in a bedroom? Where are you right now, by the way? Bedroom?
I was at my parents' house helping them do a home project, and I won't show you too much of their house.
No, I'm only asking. Kill me. Like, I thought you were in a hotel with a patio in the background. I thought
I'm in a living room. I've got my dog sleeping down here.
What kind of dog is that?
That is a pit bull. Simba. Ooh. Hey, bud.
That's a big dog. Ooh. How old is that dog?
He is 3 years old. He's a big sweetheart.
You said the words that scare everybody. You said pit and bull. So
see, but that's all. That's a bad image and a bad rap, and that's a whole nother interview.
All right, I'm gonna go so you can get back to what you're doing, because you're always doing something somewhere somehow.
Thank you, Frank.
I want to go try to find me some Puerto Rican rice now. That's everywhere.
Try the restaurant Ponce. Very good.
Oh, interesting. Maybe you'll take me there one day. We'll see.
Hey.
We'll see. All right. So, Corey, thank you very much. And thank you all for listening to this episode. We'll catch you all on the next episode of Mistaken Identity Beyond the Ballpark.
Thank you, Frank.
Club 400 Ballpark Lager is a beer for all nine innings. Take me out to the ball game. This crisp, easy drinking lager is perfect for a summer day amongst the bricks and ivy. Crafted at Crystal Lake Brewing, this beer is clean and refreshing with minimal bitterness so that you can celebrate a W in style. From Club 400, Cubs fans helping Cub fans, this baseball brew can be found at most places that sell beer in Northwest Illinois or from Crystal Lake Brewing. Beer master Ryan Clooney. Enjoy a beer or six pack today, and please remember to drink responsibly.
All right, so you all heard part one of my interview with Corey. This is back then when he was supposedly intimidated by me. And of course, that interview, a lot of change with us, because we have a lot in common. We discovered during the interview and off the interview And we've done a lot. And it was Corey's idea, by the way. He suggested, hey, why don't we do one now that I'm not scared of you anymore? He didn't use those words. He might have used those words, but he might have said comfortable. I sound better to say scared. What do you say, Corey? Did you say comfortable or scared of me? What did you say?
No, I said scared of you.
Oh,
that, yeah. And honestly, I said it one time, and you still haven't let me live it down. So, yes, now yeah. I'm glad we can do a part two where I'm not
I think
so
that words, though, may have been you did a prison interview. Was that your exact word, I think?
No, interrogation.
I could have heard of a prison, that you did a prison interview. And a lot of change. Now he's comfortable with me because we've done a lot. You may have even seen us in the ballpark a lot. So we're going to talk about that real quick. I'm just curious from your standpoint. I want to say mine. From your standpoint, why do you think that we hit it off so well after that first interview?
I don't know. That was just the universe talking, I would have to say. It all happened pretty organically, kind of by chance. Or maybe you saw it and you saw it after it. I don't know.
Yeah, it was me. Yeah, it was me. But let's talk about what we have in common. So we discovered that, one, we have the zoo in common. I love the zoo. Matter of fact, when Jordan and I did Christmas in July, a surprise that I got that was the best surprise. Even though he gave me some Air Force Ones and some other stuff, that's important. But it was a trip to the zoo that was amazing to me. I go to Lincoln Park Zoo all the time by myself. I need to just to relax, calm down. And we discovered that we had that in common because one day you were at the zoo. So what is it about the zoo that you like?
I've just always been an animal guy. I remember being young and just kind of liking Animal Planet. I've always had dogs, other animals along the way. And it's a fun, peaceful place to go. And once I had a child, I was super happy to have an excuse to go all the time. And I became a zoo member. This is probably the first year I'm not a zoo member. I have to renew it. But I just love going there. It's peaceful. One time I actually tried to take my dog to Lincoln Park Zoo because I thought, you know, it's a park. It's public hell. But I was quickly surrounded by a golf cart of associates and told that I could not bring my dog in there. So one day, hopefully I can sneak my dog in.
Yes, I wouldn't do that. But and I love Lincoln Park Zoo. I think Jordan takes me to Brookfield, so I got to see the dolphin show. And
yeah, I go to Brookfield more now, but you know, I grew up partially in Chicago, so we spent a lot of time at Lincoln Park.
Okay. I also got to discover that you have more tattoos than probably Marcus Stroman.
I wouldn't go that far. He's got quite a few. I only have my leg and part of my arm done, one on my neck, and that's just about it. No, nothing else.
If you were wearing a sleeveless shirt and I didn't know your face, I couldn't tell what nationality you were because your arms are loaded with tattoos. There's no room for skin.
Well, the giveaway is, I mean, you might think it could be Cuban or Puerto Rican, but there is a flag on my arm. So that kind of gives it away. But yes, otherwise I try to keep those covered.
All right. So the next thing we have in common is food. Anybody probably has that in common with me, food. There's some debate on who eats more, you or me.
I've easily taken that crown a few times, and I think you've seen it. So, I mean, whatever you want to, you know, admit to the people now, that's up to you. But we can easily have an eating competition.
Okay, fine. Now, one thing that we don't have in common, though, is that you are completely indecisive and forgetful. You have the memory of a cat. I'm more of the, yes, we're going to eat here, we're going to do this, and I can recall things quicker. So that we don't have in common. You have the memory of a cat. And you can't make decisions. I'm more of a, this is how it's going to be, and I can recall anything at any given time, right?
Yeah, you know, maybe it's just from my childhood. I grew up with primarily women, so they were just always kind of telling me what to do. It makes my job easy. Not that I don't have to think very much. So, yeah, because sometimes I can be a little indecisive. I'm just waiting for somebody to give me some direction.
So, Corey messaged me, hey, let's go out to eat. Okay, fine, we'll go out to eat.
Here we go.
And he goes, are we going to drive? I'm like, well, no, we're not going to drive because, what was it, Saturday or Sunday? What was that day? Saturday, Sunday?
Friday. I think it was a Saturday.
Friday. No, Friday. My memory's better. Friday. It was a Friday night. And I'm like, you know, we'll just park at my house. We'll take a lift or whatever. So I'm like, hey, what do you want to eat? And he goes, well, what do you want to eat? Assuming that it's my choice, assuming that it's my choice. So I'm like, well, we have a list of places that we said we wanted to go and eat. He has, what are you talking about? What list? Okay. Okay, so I'm like, fine. So I remember saying to him, well, I know one place I want to go, but you don't like this place. You said to me you don't like this place. And where's that at? Hooters. I know you don't want to go there.
Hooters. Oh, I never told you that.
Correct.
Never told you that. I took Matt Downing there last year. Like, we went.
I'm going to get to Matt Downing in a minute because we're taping it the day after.
Yes.
After the,
we should definitely get to Matt. Season.
But my recollection is better, by the way. But you were not too happy when I mentioned Hooters before. Let's put it like that. You weren't like eager to go before.
But, okay, now that is just a bold-faced lie. Anybody
Not this time.
I know.
Okay.
I'm talking about never. I've never been asked anything about Hooters and had a negative response. Nothing.
So then I gave him a second choice. I'm like, I also wouldn't mind going to IHOP. And he flat out, oh, no, not IHOP.
Okay. When you had asked me about these food options, it was earlier in the day and I was busy. I was running around all day. And I said, I can't have breakfast for dinner, which at the time it did not sound appealing. Breakfast, I needed a big, full dinner meal.
So we agree on Hooters. We'll see how this goes. So we agree on Hooters, and then I go ahead. He's at my house, late. He always late. Never on time at my house. Always late. Right?
Yeah. Ask home base. They know.
Always late at my house. So I order the Lyft. Right. We get in the Lyft, and I live right by Biggie Field. We get to the corner of Clark and Addison in the Lyft, and as we're going, I'm like, you know, I could use some breakfast, some pancakes or some whatever. He goes, you know what? I'm going to go to IHOP. Now, mind you, we're in the Lyft, and the address that we put into the Lyft is to go to downtown to go to Hooters, which is like 20 bucks. Something was going on. Was it the Mexican weekend, Mexican Heritage weekend? Something was going on. And it was so expensive, by the way. But we get two blocks from our house to go downtown in the Lyft. You know what? I want to go to IHOP. I want breakfast. That's true, correct?
Well, see, now you're going to try to throw me under the bus. I have clarification for that. So the Uber driver, yes, it took me a little while to get to Frank's. It was traffic. I live far away. So, yes, I was late. And then what he didn't tell you is that the Uber driver took like an extra half hour to get to the house. So by the time we even got on our way to go eat, it was getting late. And then breakfast did sound appealing. So I feel like that's good reason.
So I'm like, no, I'm not going to take, no, we're going to go downtown, get to Hooters. Now, we ended up not going to Hooters. Do you remember the reason why? Why did we not go to Hooters?
That was like the first time ever you needed a reservation for Hooters. Who would have thought you need a reservation for that?
You needed a reservation to go to Hooters. And you didn't have one. Hey, he's right. I've never had a reservation for Hooters. We couldn't go there, and we ended up going to TGI Fridays, which was actually pretty nasty because I wanted to see the Cubs because Marcus Stroman was supposed to make his return and I wanted to see the Cubs. So we went to TGI Fridays, ordered the same thing because we have a lot in common with ribs,
yep,
and shrimp and broccoli and whatever. So that was a good example of it's always late and very undecisive. So, you know, those things that we don't have in common.
They were okay reasons. I don't feel like they were good reasons, but, you know, they.
Let's go on to Matt Downing real quick. So if you were at Wrigley Field.
Yes.
Before Wrigley Field, if you were on the social media group, you were for the Cubs, by the way, social media group. Matt Downing had made several posts throughout the month, probably throughout the year. He's one of our associates that's on crutches. And he has said his goal this year was to participate in the annual staff tradition of them running around the bases. Now, before I get to that, I want to put a pin there and I want to back up and tell a story real quick. This is a podcast that keep you entertained. So Corey actually has a very good relationship with Matt Downing that I'm going to be honest, just me being crazy and judging a book by its cover and knowing how how harsh he is when he talks to me. I was shocked to know that him and Matthew Downing have a really good relationship, because Corey has no patience with me whatsoever. But he apparently has patience with people outside of me. And one of those people is Matt Downing. Talk about that relationship that you have.
Oh, no, Matt will definitely tell you I have no patience for him either. He's definitely worn that off by now. But no, I was very fortunate to meet Matthew last year, opening day. We worked gate three together. Them just from simple conversation, finding out we live pretty close to each other. We just kind of, he's a good kid, you know, we hit it off. And I've always been one to talk to people that other people might not really talk to. I did it in school, just, you know, I just like to do it. And we kind of click. We got a lot in common. We're both Eminem lovers. We love music. We both love to go bowling. I've taken him. I'm not proud to say I've only beat him once out of, I think, 5 or 6 games that we've played. But, you know, at least one is good. I'm on my way. But, you know, he's a funny kid. We have a lot of fun together. And I was very, very blessed to be part of what he accomplished yesterday. I think that was absolutely amazing and inspiring, because I mean, I'm not going to talk about his story. I'm not sure if he will one day, but that was a huge, huge, huge accomplishment. And he has come so far from where he originally started to where he is now. So I think that was amazing.
And what he's talking about, for those of you that are not around here at the game or are listening to the podcast, so Matt Downing put down his crutches. He made a promise that he was going to do that this season, or one season. And this season, at the end of the year, club staff, actually, when the fans have done, all the staff, they run the bases. And he's, this would be the year that he would put down his crutches and run bases. And this year, when it was time for him to go up, there were, I counted it, at least 80 to 90 staff in line down the, first base, baseline. And then he started. Of course, he got down, and then Floyd was there. I think Tom Cole was there. And then right behind him with the camera out was you. So tell me, what it was, you actually started with him from home plate to second base to third base to home plate. But I got to say to the staff, by the way, it was amazing to see you all have that much patience. It took a while to get this done. But Corey, you were there right behind him in the moment as his friend. What was that like?
It was just absolutely incredible. I thought the original plan was to go from third to home. And I was going to carry him. And then, you know, it got really congested with all of us getting down there. And, you know, he did it from first all the way. And I missed the first few steps, but I feel so blessed to be a part of just that moment for him and be able to record it. And so he can have that forever and to show his family, just everybody. That was just incredible.
You were going to carry him. You're like 4'1". How are we going to carry? I don't understand how you're going to carry.
I get it done. All right, Frank. Okay. I'm small, but I get it done. Luckily, what was his name? Tom, the associate that carried his crutches.
I think it was Tom Cole, I think.
So that was very nice. I mean, I just got to do the camera work. So that was a little bit easier.
By the way, if it sounds like I'm being harsh to Corey on this podcast, this is how he usually is to me. I'm just paying him back live on the recording, but this is my show. But Corey will agree, I'm sure, here now that I am not condescending to you at all. I'm very straightforward with you. You're really the one that has the attitude situation, right?
Sometimes. It depends. Depends on the questions you ask, especially if it's about my love for Christmas.
Oh, thank you for that. Let's talk about this. So everybody, usually, take the bet, not everybody. Most people like Christmas in some form, whether it is to either just be around the season. People are generally nicer. Of course, there are crooks and scammers, but people are generally nicer. But if you have friends, you get to share that moment usually with your friends. And when I first started talking to Corey about Christmas, he would shoot it down and make me feel so bad for even mentioning it. He was, you know, I was like offended for even liking Christmas myself. That's how harsh he was in his response to me when I brought up Christmas. You are like, wow, Frank, you're nice. You about everybody. You do so much for people. How can anybody make you feel bad? No, right? Like, I know you would think that he'd be nice about it and just say, you know, I want to pass on Christmas. But my God, Corey, tell these people how you let me have it. How you make me feel bad whenever I use the word Christmas.
You're blowing it up way out of proportion. for some that don't know, and maybe if they saw the first one, they didn't, but I grew up with a very different religious background. So I did not have any holidays or birthdays or anything like that when I was growing up. I was a little kid that, you know, like every other little kid, was in love with Christmas, but I couldn't have it. And so, yeah, it kind of made a little bit of I got a little chip on my shoulder for it. But as I became a father, I, you know, turned into a Santa Claus. And for him, I absolutely go all out and I have fun. But for everybody else, I mean, just don't even talk to me about it. I don't care about it.
And for the record, y'all are probably saying, well, Frank, that makes sense. He has a religious background. So he didn't tell me about the religious thing until we were at TGI Fridays.
That is not true. We said in the... Nope.
I interviewed hundreds of people. I interviewed hundreds of people a year. I don't have time to go through and remember everybody's small little. You should have reminded me if that was instead of just every time I bring it up. But we made an agreement. You made an agreement. So what is your agreement now when it comes to how you treat me around Christmas?
I have to say yes to everything Christmas related, and I lightened up. I'm now looking forward to December 25th, 2023.
Oh, you know the date. That's good. All right. Let's talk about, we went to the Cubs game together, and you were sort of worried, oh my God, if I go to the Cubs game, Frank, you're going to hate me, which is insane because nobody recognizes me in street clothes, like I told you, and nobody did, correct?
I'm pretty sure you were spotted the first 5 minutes we were in the stadium.
But supervisors don't count. They know me as street clothes. I'm talking about staff.
Nope, that still doesn't count because we were definitely spotted.
I don't think that we were. I don't think people, because even at the party, sometimes we have street clothes on. Nobody knows who anybody is with street clothes on. So I'm like, nobody's going to recognize you with me at all whatsoever. Of course, I was proving wrong with the bleachers, but that was your fault because you wanted to go out there. Anyway, what was it like for you to go to a Cubs game on a national holiday? I was curious.
Oh, that was a national holiday.
Isn't it? Labor Day?
Oh, we did go Labor Day. That's right. Yeah, we did go Labor Day.
So you all can see. He has the memory of a cat. It's a theme.
I thought we were talking about my birthday. You know, I said my birthday should be a national holiday. No, that was very cool. That was a very cool experience. And, you know, I thank you very much for taking. And we had a fun time. The Cubs won.
Yeah, it was on my bucket list. Again, I worked for the Cubs forever. I've never been to a game on a holiday. So I've never, and it's going to sound like it's impossible. I've never seen the flag on the field in person because I was always at a gate on a holiday. Which is why I wanted to experience a game. The Cub game was free tickets. I wanted to experience a game on a holiday. And I've never seen the flag like that. How the process of it, bringing them out, putting it on the field. I think there might have been a flyover. I'm not sure. I think there might have been a flyover.
I think there was.
So I've never got to experience it. I think the Cubs even won, which I really ever experienced because I'm always when I go. But it was good. I think at one point, I give you a warning, because it was your birthday. How old did you turn? 52? How old did you turn?
53.
So I told him, by the way, this is a warning. If you see a bunch of staff members come by here and start singing to you like it's a restaurant, don't blame me. And he gave me this look like, what did you do? So I'm just curious, when I said that to you, what did you think was going to happen?
It's making me sweat again. It sent me into a quick panic. I don't do well. I've never had that. I don't know how I would respond. But yeah, I don't like being embarrassed or put on the spot. So.
And then you saw Toya, and you're like, "Uh-oh, here we go."
Yep, I thought it was coming, but it was just her, and she came with a gift. So yes. Thank you very much.
You're not embarrassing at all. Not at all.
No.
All right, big things coming up. We're going to the game. We're going to see Milwaukee. Out of nowhere, you said, "Hey, you want to go to the game?" I think I probably might have said no at first, but What made you want to go to the game to see Milwaukee?
I know Cubs fans go up there. I've never been up there. It's a close drive, and figure, hey, why not?
Yeah, I thought there'd be more to that story than that. Okay,
I'm sorry. I thought you froze. So I was like, oh, great. No, I just I've always wanted to see the stadium, and it's so close. Cubs people are always talking about that. They go whenever we play them. So it's like, hey, why not go see some of our friends?
I've never ever been to Milwaukee when it was what it is, anything other than Fulton County Stadium. By the way, so when I last saw it, it was the original. I think it's original, maybe one before that, but I've never seen this version of it. So it's cool. I'm actually excited about where we're sitting at. We're like literally right behind the Cubs bullpen.
Yes.
It's kind of exciting. I'm disappointed a little bit because you're always late for everything. It'd be the when I get to the fourth inning, but just the point of being there is good. Now, what are some things, give me two things that people, you're very private, I want to change that now. Name two things that people may not know about you that I have found out about you recently.
Okay, I can say one I can think of. It kind of, there's like a little bit of a story behind it. It was one of the most powerful moments of my life happened right here at Wrigley. My first day as a field guard, Paco was introducing me around on the field, showing me around, and he took me into the bullpen where I met Paul. And Paul was showing me around, and we were just getting to know each other. And as Paco and I were walking out, I might choke up on this. As Paco and I were walking out, Paul says to me, he goes, hey, what was your name? Was it Jacob? And he shakes my hand. And I said, no. And I walk away and I tell Paco, I say, I just needed a second. And that the name Jacob is the name of my deceased brother. And it just happened to be, I don't know if that was God or, but it was one of the most powerful and divine moments I've absolutely ever had. I lost my brother when I was 14 years old, and probably been one of the hardest things, but I can talk about it now as an adult, and having that moment was just absolutely amazing.
Okay. I think the second thing you sort of already hinted, I want to say it now anyway, for those of you that don't know, you should probably know, you may have recognized Corey as a field guard, and I was informed through Corey that the field guards get all the women at the ballpark because they have these shirts on, they have these blue shirts, and they get all the attention to their celebrities and all that kind of good stuff. So I learned something new about the field guards thanks to
I think people knew that through Fabian already. So
okay, fine. So I didn't realize how important it is. So for the sake of people who don't get to see me behind the scenes, because you have actually are broken the third wall, everybody knows that me and Keyson are closer than brothers, and you're sort of in that ballpark now. Is there anything about me that you learned that you didn't know before, or that most people wouldn't know about me? I'm curious. I'm kind of scared to hear this because you know a lot, but anything that you learned?
I truly didn't know Jordan was your son. I did not know that.
Everybody here knows that. I'm saying something else that people probably wouldn't know.
I truly didn't know how giving of a person you can be. You look out for, I don't know how many associates. One thing you say to me is that a friend is someone who is trying to help you succeed, and you do that with a lot of people. And well, I don't know if you get the recognition that you deserve for it, but you absolutely, it's kind of amazing what you do with some people. I did not know. I was so intimidated when I met you. I did not know how kind of a man you are.
How much did I pay you?
You're a big softy.
How much did I pay you to say that?
I'll be able to say after it clears.
So you got to go to I throw an annual supervisor party all the time. I've thrown many, many brunches, big brunches. I have my seventh annual coming up. Everybody shows up for that. Jordan will be there. Everybody that knows me. Well, Corey decided not to come this year for whatever reason. He didn't when I come to it. But he came to the supervisor party that we had. What was it like to hang out with supervisors?
It was an honor.
And also tell them why you're not coming to the box. So answer that first question and then tell them why you're not coming to my biggie. Let them know.
Well, no, it was really an honor being able to be there with the supervisors outside of a work environment. We have a lot of fun at Wrigley, but, you know, Wrigley can be stressful. It is a job. So it was nice to be able to just relax and see different sides of people and just be able to hang out, chill, and have some drinks, have good food. We had a beautiful view. The party was at a beautiful hotel. So I had a fellow field guard, Amanda, there with me, so I wasn't alone. So it was just, you know, a great time. And I thank all of you guys for, you know, having us there.
I'm talking about the brunch, but I'm bringing it up to let you all know that that's coming up in November. This is my 7th annual one. It's at Club 400. There'll be limo buses leaving from Wrigley Field, going down to Club 400 and back. There's currently a waiting list for that. But we got some great stuff. I got a surprise from Sean Dunstan for you all. We do it big. There's some things that you can't get at Wrigley Field that we get to give to you all at this event. That you won't find anywhere else. If you've been to my events, you know that I like to go all out. I'm doing Frank's favorite things. You're all going to get gift bags for my good stuff. So I'm excited about that. What did you get for your birthday from me that requires a plane ticket?
You call it anywhere away game for the Cubs. So I picked San Diego for the Cubs against San Diego in April. I've never been out there, and we're both zoo lovers, so I could figure, man, we could probably hit one of the best zoos in America.
Yes. So we're going to San Diego to see the Cubs play there. The zoo is really going to, after he said the zoo park, but I didn't know why he picked it. It's really, we're going to see the zoo. And it just happened to be a Cubs game going on.
Yeah, not gonna lie.
At the same time. obviously, you all know that when I travel, usually with Jordan, I do some podcast episodes. But I brought this up because if you're on our Patreon, you notice that we have started to do groups of trips, different ballparks. We have Boston already up on our site. So go to patreon.com/mistakenidentity. Podcast. I don't try to think that I'm only going to ballparks with Corey, but I'm actually letting all of you all go to different ballparks that I go to. So go and check that out. What were your three choices other than, was San Diego your only choice, or did you have like multiple choices in your head?
No, it was pretty much just San Diego. I used to go out to Arizona a lot. My uncle used to live in Phoenix and California for some reason. I haven't never been out there, but it's been such a dream of mine to go out there on vacation. So yeah, I'm not gonna lie, the Cubs were kind of default, you know, but yeah, I just want to go out to see San Diego and California and see the animals.
Okay. Now, I always end the podcast letting a person ask me a question. But before you go, I have some different rules for you because you know a lot about me now. So you can ask me one question that you want to ask me, but know that your question could potentially ruin what you may or may not get for Christmas for me. So.
Let me think. What do you have any big goals for 2024?
Yes, I'm going to Paris. I went to London with the Cubs. I went with Jordan. And now I've got the taste of international travel. One of my big goals is to convince you to go on a cruise in 2024, by the way, because you think that cruising is deadly, even though in the U.S., actually in the world, a car is the deadliest form of transportation, followed by a bus, followed by a plane. Look it up. Google it. If you want to base off facts, you can base it off emotion. But if you want to go off facts, is that. So I want to take it back. Although I am going to Paris, my new goal now is to convince you to go on a cruise. You said that you were going to go on a cruise with me to Puerto Rico, but I don't believe you. But my goal is now to convince you to go on a cruise. And then when you go on a cruise, I'm going to come back to this podcast and say, but you have been saying at least 40 times already that, Frank, you're always right.
I'm pretty sure I've said that maybe a handful. But and until you guys can convince the Sharks to part ways and, you know, leave us alone, if I do come through the ocean, otherwise I'm terrified of the ocean. I don't feel that we belong there. Spending time on a cruise boat sends me into a panic. I don't know about that one.
But be honest with the public, you did, I don't know if you semi-agreed or you take it back or not, but in some act of hastiness or pressure, you said yes.
Yes, because yes, I did actually owe you for being a little bit of a crab one day, and I agreed to go on a small cruise.
Crab every day. But yes. All right. We got to go to run out of time. So let me end it before you change your mind on this cruise. I want to thank all of you for listening and putting up with this very odd episode. But I thought it was important for you all to see, the power of the podcast. I interviewed somebody, met somebody on the podcast, who I knew only a little bit about. And because of the podcast, I become friends with them now, more than I thought I could ever be. So that's how I wanted to do this episode. Corey, thank you very much. I will see you Sunday. I would like to get there before the gates open. I mean, I would like to get there on time, but I know you'd like to be there. You know, I know you'd like to be late. We might not get there in the fifth inning, but if we can make it there before the first inning, I will love you forever. All right?
No worries. I'm going to find a way to record it myself, you know, our excursion. So we will be there nice and early. So, no, thank you, Frank, for having me. It was an honor, and thank you, everybody, for listening. I love all of our Cub fans and family.
All right. Adios. Catch you all later.
Hey, buddy. Bye.
Hey guys, if you're hearing my voice here again, that means we've reached the end of the show. It's that time again for all the thank yous and special messages and disclaimers, you know, all the stuff you really tune in for each week. A big thank you yet again to all of our supporters who not only continue to tune into our show, but take the time to hit the like button, write reviews, and share our content on social media. It all really helps us grow our audience. Our Patreon page continues to thrive as well, as we're working not only on the podcast, but Roku channel and the book club and on and on and on. If you'd like to be a part of that expanding Mistaken Identity experience, follow the link in our show notes to our Patreon page, or go to patreon.com and search Mistaken Identity Podcast for all the ways you can sign up to access this multitude of additional content. Mistaken Identity is also now a part of the Unconfined Network, which is a home to many podcasts whose hosts have met inside the walls of Wrigley Field. To check out the network's other show offerings, head to unconfinednetwork.com. That's all one word, unconfinednetwork.com, to view all of our shows and their catalogs. Shouts out to Frank Walker, Jesse Graham, and Jordan Burks for their continued efforts both in front and behind the scenes to keep Mistaken Identity rolling along every week. And of course, we can't leave without our disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely our own, and we do not speak for or on behalf of the Chicago Cubs or any other organization. This is Joe Flaherty for the Mistaken Identity Podcast saying stay safe, and we'll catch you next time beyond the ballpark. We'll be right back.